Today we have Monique Nunez, who has been serving with Concordia for the last year. My name is Melinda Martinez. I am the Associate Vice President for Legal Affairs and Human Resources at Concordia. I also serve on our Women in Leadership team here at Concordia, and I've worked with that group for several years, and it is one of my favorite opportunities that I've been able to participate in my time here at Concordia.
I'm Julie Melberg, and I'm a math professor here. I'm the chair of the math and computer science department, and I am on the Advancing Women in Leadership committee as well, and I've been on it for several years. My group with Melinda, it's been a great group of women that I've had the pleasure to work with over the past few years.
I'll let you talk about your role specifically, Monique, and share a little bit with us about your role here with us at Concordia.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Julie and Melinda. First and foremost, it is an honor, a blessing, and a privilege to be a part of the student affairs team at Concordia University Irvine. So my role is, the formal title is Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Coach. And when some people hear the word coach, they immediately go to fitness, working out, some type of sport. And I would say in the season of COVID, we've had to coach ourselves of what to say because of these squares, the Zoom, and our facial features are shown. And that's more, I read your, Julie, I don't think you really felt me. Or Melinda, I saw you went off screen when I said this. You took me off a video, or everyone muted me. So coaching is something that I love doing. Diversity is something I love being a part of. And it is a position that is evolving. It's a position that is in this time of COVID, it's very much needed. In this time of political unrest, this job title or this coaching is needed. So that is what I do at Concordia, and that is what I live out in my life.
So what are different ways that you are serving as a coach at Concordia? Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing to interact with students or faculty or staff? What is your role, and how are you living it there?
Thank you so much for asking. So with the students, it's mainly working with students, and it could be a range from a group, on a virtual group. We studied or we read the book, Be the Bridge, and it's about a racial reconciliation. So I passed out the book when I was there in the fall, and we just completed it right before Christmas on the 23rd of December. So that was going on two different groups every other week. Also, one-on-one, if Melinda is a student and she's struggling with a roommate that has a different political view, different socioeconomic upbringing, different religion, and how do you navigate those conversations? Because more than ever, roommates have to learn to live with one another. So that could be a coaching one-on-one. Also, I am a big fan of restorative justice. And what do I mean by that? Let's say, for instance, Billy. I always say the name Billy, even when I was a school teacher or a principal. It was always, the example was Billy until I had a Billy, and he said, you're always picking on me. So let's just say Billy has a sanction, or Billy has broken a violation, broken code of conduct. So the this person, Billy, may be assigned to work with me for two sessions, three sessions, five, four sessions, whatever Miss Kathy dictates. This is part of your sanction. So I get to talk about why we here, why are we talking, how can we fix it, and how can I walk not for you, but with you? So that's a little bit of what I do. And then group talks. When I was on campus, the last discussion we have is, where do we go from here? Mm-hmm. The day after election, we just took the pulse of students to just listen to How are they feeling? And it was, if you know anything about the election, it wasn't final. So it was like, yeah, I'm still not talking to my roommate because we don't know who's president. What? So why not have civil dialogue with one another and agree to disagree? And because you disagree does not equate to not loving or liking someone. I can talk about this all day. So I hope that's a good example.
Yeah, that's awesome to know that those are going on for our students. That makes me excited that they're starting to have those conversations. What goals or visions do you have for this role you have then at Concordia? I know you've been here about a year now. Is there some goal that you have long-term that you hope to see happen or that you hope to implement while you're at Concordia Irvine?
Yes. So the goal is to have students navigate, and I keep saying civil dialogue, to have civil dialogue with one another, to respect, to have dignity, not for oneself, but for the other. I don't know who's the author or who to give credit for, but when we lived in Detroit, my husband served as a pastor there and then also as executive director of the Lutheran Ministries. It was an urban position to revitalize urban Lutheran churches. And we went into Detroit Urban Lutheran School, which sadly has closed, but they had a banner and it had the word diversity. And it says different individuals valuing each other regardless of, and then it goes into skin, intellect or identity, talent or years. So we unpack that. So we are different. Even the three of us, we have something in common. We're female. We have something in common that we're the body of Christ. But if we talk long enough, we will find out that we're very different. But difference doesn't mean you don't value. So different individuals valuing each other regardless of skin, intellect, talent, years, because you can learn from anyone if you just, first of all, listen.
I love that. I love the message that you share with students and how you encourage them to, you know, step outside of themselves and their comfort zone and exactly what you just said, start to listen because there's so much to learn and people are so eager to speak and we need to be doing more listening. So in your role, you have the opportunity to lead students through some of these conversations and, you know, how they can start to think through things differently. So as a leader with students, do you have a certain leadership style that you try to incorporate into your work with the students?
Yes, collaboration. And I tell you, it's the College of Hard Knocks. I had to learn that. My years of being a teacher, especially, I mean, I taught fifth grade, fourth grade, third grade, and my absolute love is kindergarten. So in kindergarten, you learn how to get along, but kindergartners are very territorial. So freshmen in college go, their mindset goes back to being a kindergartner. This is mine. This is my shampoo. I marked it. She used my conditioner because I put a Sharpie there and she took two squirts. So I get students or try to get them to listen and hear the other person's point of view. That sounds simple. That sounds like, duh, that should be something that you learn in kindergarten, you know, the golden rule, treat others as you would want to be treated. So that is what I do, especially when it's a roommate conflict or teammate conflict. And maybe I am shedding light on what's happening, not only at Concordia University Irvine, but here at Concordia College, New York, where teammates are on the court, on the field playing, but not speaking to one another. It doesn't work that way. You have to communicate because you have a difference in political view or ethnicity. You still have to communicate. And last I heard, or last I was taught, is speaking and listening. But first you have to listen, understand to be understood.
One of our goals too with our Advancing Women in Leadership Committee is to kind of get to know some other women on campus as well. And I know that you're part-time on campus here, but then you're also part-time still in New York. Is that right? So for those of us who don't actually know you in face-to-face, because like you said, with COVID times, we've not been in the same room for quite a while now. Can you tell us a few things about yourself that we might not know about you? Any hobbies that you have or hidden talents that you have or things you love to do in your spare time?
I'm smiling, and it gives me great joy to say that I hold a track record at Concordia University, Nebraska. And it makes me smile even more that that record can never be broken because they don't run it anymore. It's the 50 indoor hurdles.
How fast was it? We have to know.
Oh, that you got me on. I have a picture of it. As a matter of fact, I have a plaque of it on the third floor. And as you know, I'm all the way in the basement. But I love to run. I was anchor in high school on the 4x4, what they call the medley relay, the 4x4, which is the last event. So I had to stay on point the whole track meet. So that's a fun fact about me. I absolutely 100% love Zumba. First of all, it gives you lots of steps and it gets you moving, and music is universal. So even if you have a conflict with someone, and you'll see this if you come on campus, that we're going to dance. We got to dance some stuff out. And sometimes you just get lost in the movement of the dance because you have to look at the instructor. So that's one fun fact about me. I love walking. And I don't know how much of this will be edited out, but when I became what is Megan's counterpart. So Megan is VP of Student Affairs. I was Senior Director of Student Life here at Concordia College, New York. But during a major financial crisis, we had to do some RIFs and layoffs. And you can't be the president's wife and still say, I have my job. So I was the first to resign and to part ways on that position and shift more for being whatever first lady. I'm the first one to roll up my sleeves, first one to feed a student, first one to walk with someone. But I tell you, in that role of student life, I let myself go. And what do I mean by that? Is I was pouring myself out for not only first generation students, of students not going to class, going to walk with them. And then you have discipline issues. So you have to type these reports out. So this runner got up to 220 pounds. So within the last 3 years, I've lost 82 pounds. So wow. I am back at the weight where I met my husband. And some people, seriously, when they see me because of COVID, when they see me now, like, because I try to walk 9 to 12 miles a day. Now that we're in COVID, I signed up. Go figure. We're doing a boot camp virtually, but it's still, I mean, my basement is set up in such a manner that it helps me to work out. But I'm so proud of that because it was something I had to work hard. It was hard to get to that place because it was chips. And before you know it, you just feel yourself consuming because you're typing away or you're talking with the student or you go into the cafeteria, you find yourself in there 3 hours and you're just eating because you want to be around students. And I'm not blaming the students, but that's another fun fact about me, that I let myself go, but I got myself back.
That's amazing.
I love that. And I can relate. I feel like physical movement, and especially when you can do that in community, is such an important part of the balance that we're all looking for as working professionals, and home life and work life, and finding that balance of pouring yourself into your role and finding the time to care for yourself as well. It's a difficult balance, and one that we know a lot of people struggle with finding that balance. So we appreciate your perspective and your input in that regard.
And it is a balance, especially now in COVID. It is a tempting balance to just stay on the couch. I'm gonna set up everything. I'm gonna get my dinner tray. I'm gonna set everything up. I'm gonna get my virtual background. If you can see the background, I don't know if you can see the pictures, but our basement is of students walking and doing stuff on campus. So I invite people down to talk, and they say, oh, I didn't know you had that picture. But yeah, you have to balance yourself. And I am a testimony of self-care is important. and I lost it and I took it back and I feel so much better.
That's so important to remember too, because we are able to best serve when we are our best version of ourselves, and we need to care for ourselves in order to be that. So
yes.
I so appreciate you sharing that. I know you mentioned a little bit earlier about a book you just read with the class or with a group of students last semester called Be the Bridge. I was wondering if you have a favorite book that you've read, all-time favorite book.
Well, some people will say that I'm cheating, but I don't think I'm cheating because it's the most recent book that I read, and I'm in 4 book clubs with the same book, and it's by an author, Dr. Reverend John Nunes Sr. It's my husband's book, Meant for More. Concordia Publishing House published this book, and I wouldn't even say because of COVID, because we were going to do this whole tour around the United States, and now we're doing virtual tours where all of these book clubs. So now we have to really jot down, what did I say on this book club versus this book club? But Meant for More. And it talks about loving more. It talks about giving more. It talks about raging more. And it just talks about that we are meant for so much more. The Bible verse, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." God has a plan for each and every person on this planet. Be it if you believe in Jesus Christ or not, you have a purpose and you're so meant for more, especially when we get on ourselves. Sometimes we're our hardest critics. Sometimes we just beat ourselves up. But we are meant for more. But we have to get more of ourselves in order to give out more of Meant for More. So that's my favorite book, Meant for More, by Reverend Dr. John Arthur Nunes Sr.
That's fantastic. Thank you for sharing that.
We'll have to read some of these books later as a committee meeting, Amanda.
I know. That sounds awesome. Start a book club with our group.
I'm impressed you could be in 4 book clubs at once, too. That's
it's all reading the same book.
I guess that makes it easier.
Yeah, it's reading the same book. But I tell you, this week was overwhelming because it's these church groups. And it's like, okay, can I come off screen and cook while he's like, no, because you need to interact with me. And I'm like, I just want to put on my bonnet or my bandana and just cook while I'm listening. Yeah, it is. It is a work-life balance.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that's something that all of us think about a lot. So do you have a favorite quote or scripture verse that most inspires you in your daily life or in your work life?
Yeah, so I just stated one, Jeremiah 29:11. Mm-hmm. That is my very, very favorite Bible verse. And it's been my Bible verse for a number of years, but in 1995, teaching in Detroit, that was our theme for 1 year. Because, you know, we have a theme for every year. And since 1995, it has really been my very favorite Bible verse. And the Bible also states, "Be still and know that I am God." And it was one big vacation Bible school. And I don't know if it was my husband or not. It was someone talking. But be still and know that I am God. Just start taking away one word. Be still and know that I, be still and know, be still and, be still. I mean, you just get to be. And it gives me so much satisfaction, especially with the recent news that Concordia College New York is closing. And it has been a rough 2 weeks. And that is what I say to get myself to sleep. Because you can just spin your wheels. You know, what could we have done better? What ifs? The what ifs can tear you from the inside out. So be still and know that I'm God. And you're meant for more, that God has a plan for you. I don't know our next plan, but I know he has a plan. It hasn't been revealed.
I'm sure Julie shares as well as the rest of our community. We were deeply saddened to hear of the news of Concordia, Bronxville. And having, you know, relationship, a lot of folks here have relationship and know folks, you know, in Bronxville. And it's with such a neat community. It's such a tight community. And when anyone is hurting, the entire community feels that hurt. And
The
community is in our prayers.
Yeah. Thank you so much. It's at the visceral level. It feels like a death. And you have all of these different emotions, and all kind of emotions are coming out of this, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Mm-hmm. But you have to be still and know that I'm God. You just have to keep saying that. And God has a plan. Yeah. And He can go places where we can't go. He knows things that we don't know. Oh, I can just, you guys don't want to hear it. I can get on my soapbox and talk about this all day. So I'll let you ask the next question.
I can see how that verse would be one of the first that comes to mind in this moment. And just the amount of times in my own life when I look back and I've been able to rest assured in knowing that God has a plan for me, and knowing that God is in charge, and it's not for me to figure out and not for me to solve, and that He has a plan through all of this. I'm grateful that we have that comfort in our Lord and Savior, and knowing that it's all in His plan, and His plan is always. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
I have a good friend, and she always says, sometimes our plan B is actually God's plan A. And mm-hmm. I'm like, that's not my plan. And I'm like, oh, but it's not my plan, right? It's, what God's plan is. So I always try to keep that in mind too, that.
Yeah.
I love that, Julie. So as I think about my next question, I want to talk about, starting out as a young professional and now having lived all these different experiences as a, professional, and you talked about your time with student affairs and, serving as with your president or your husband as president in Concordia, Bronxville, going through all of that experience and all the knowledge and all the things that you've learned in that time, both about different areas of professional work, but also about yourself. If you had to go back and tell yourself one thing, give yourself one piece of advice when you were starting out, what would that piece of advice be?
I would tell myself to don't take yourself so serious. Learn to dance in the rain and ride the tide with Jesus. And when I say don't take yourself too serious, being a president's wife, a pastor's wife, and my father's a Lutheran pastor, being a pastor's kid, you're in this fishbowl. So much is required. Or expected. Let me just say that. It's so much is expected that when you don't deliver, you find yourself trying to alter so that you can please. And I've been in that place, especially as a pastor's kid. And that just branched right over to being a pastor's wife. And it branched right over to being a president's wife. And then being over student affairs. So don't take yourself too serious, because God is still in control. And last I checked, He didn't ask me to be an assistant. So learn to lean on God's unchanging hand. And that's easier said than done when you are faced with so many issues, problems, and circumstances that sometimes you just don't stop to breathe and just pray. So that's what I would tell myself. Take a deep breath. Most of the students know me as Miss Mo. If you say, have you seen Miss Mo, or did you see Miss Mo when she was on campus? You can't say Monique Nunes, because they would be like, I don't know who you're talking about.
Who is that? I actually learned that this morning, because I watched your chapel from October, and you introduced yourself in the chapel as Miss Mo. So I was like, that's a great nickname.
So then, one of my other hobbies is singing.
Yes, yes. That's amazing. I love singing too. So we could end it in a song almost, right?
If y'all end a song, I will just lip sync and bow out. My kids ask me not to sing in the car.
So can you tell us about a time, and I know the COVID times have been crazy for all of us, right? And I think, you alluded to the fact that some of us, I'm in my office right now. I'm in my office many hours a day right now, and I'm not walking across campus or seeing people like normal. So let's forget about the last year, right? So before that, in pre-COVID times, Was there a pivotal time you can tell us about that somehow changed you or changed your perspective on how to get and maintain work-life balance? I know you're a mom. I know you said you're a grandma. You're a professional. You're a pastor's wife. Right? So there's all these pieces coming together. But is there something that has happened in your life, professional or personal life, that's helped you achieve or better achieve that work-life balance?
Yeah. So, I would have to give 100% credit to my husband. That is also my life coach. That's also my life partner. That's also my pastor. So I told you that I had to resign from my position as senior director of student life. And I found myself, I wish I could turn the camera. We live like I'm looking right at the library. And then if I look this way, I'm looking right at the administration building. That's how close this campus is. And I found myself staring out of the window. Like, it's 11:15. They're changing classes now. It's 1:30. And when he would come home, I will talk about the glory days or the not so great days. And he told me, he said, you, my friend, my wife, you're wrapped up in titles. And you need to take and own the title of being a child of God. Because titles meant so much to me. I am a principal. I am a kindergarten teacher. This is Newness Navigators, kindergarten class. We're navigating through success. So I've always identified myself, pastor's kid. Why not just Miss Mo or Monique? So I had to learn a hard lesson that you can't get wrapped up in these titles. And you can't get puffed up on these titles because they come and they go. But being a child of God remains. And that was a hard talk when he had to sit me down, like pastor to parishioner, and ask me, did I take it well? Not at all. It took time to develop and to embrace that I don't have a title behind my name. I don't have to say Monique Nunes, comma, M.A. He said, stop being so caught up in titles and get to know Monique, look in the mirror and get to know Monique more. And that's what got me into this walking and praying and just being Monique.
Was that shift in focusing on you what allowed you to maintain a different work-life balance or reshift your priorities? And
it gave me the opportunity to, and some women may not take this the right way, to be a wife and a helpmate to my husband, that I didn't have to oversee 18 people. I didn't have to write 18 reviews. I didn't have to make sure that, okay, did I take care? Did I do my walk around to everyone's office? Oh my gosh. So it gave me the chance to get to know Monique and to not fall back, but walk on the side of my husband as his wife. Mm-hmm. And that was many titles that I had, wife, mother, grandmother. But I tell you, I got really caught up in my title and I was proud of that team. And I'm proud of the team now that remains. But yeah, that work-life balance, it gave me the opportunity to get to know Monique more, get in the word more and be that helpmate that my husband so desperately needed. Because sometimes there would be times, and if you can imagine, he's the president. There was things I couldn't tell him and he couldn't tell me. So we're crossing each other. Mm-hmm. So not so great of an idea for me to have been part or overseeing student life, but life lesson learned. You can't go back, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Because that, like I said, it'd eat you up from the inside out.
When you talk about walking alongside your husband in his role, I've always felt it really important that I walk alongside my husband and that he's walking alongside me. And, you know, there's seasons where, you know, you might be offering more help or more might be needing more help, but it's that give and take. And it's that centrality of your, you know, commitment to one another that makes you a better spouse, makes you a better parent, makes you a better colleague at work, makes you a better sister, brother to your, you know, siblings. My husband and I have always approached things that way too.
Yeah, I don't know. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I don't know a marriage that's 50-50. I know marriages that are 60-40, 70-30, 90-10, because sometimes we are as strong as our weakest link. And sometimes you're right. You got to soar up and you got to take the lead and you got to take the hits. And sometimes you got to fall back. Mm-hmm. And if you find a marriage that's 50-50, I would love to interview them because I have not yet to find one.
Changes with the seasons for sure. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I am so appreciative of what you do to serve our students here. And I appreciate your time with us and sharing with the Advancing Women in Leadership here at Concordia Irvine. If you don't mind, can I close us in prayer?
Sure, please.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Monique and John, and we thank you for their ministry over the years to the Lutheran Church and for the last years at Concordia New York. And we thank you for all of the students that are attending in New York and the faculty and staff that are continuing to serve there. We pray for the entire community in Bronxville as they find their next path, and we pray for your strong hand of leadership to them through this season and finding your calling for them through this. We thank you for the work that Monique does here in Irvine. We thank you for the gifts that she brings to our student body and the dialogue that she has brought and the conversation around listening to one another and caring for one another and engaging in dialogue and continuing to honor and respect and love one another through these difficult seasons. We just thank you for that work, Lord. It's so important. We thank you for this time today and raise all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for spending some time with me today. And I so much enjoy being a part of Concordia University Irvine, because that's truly the Concordia University system that we don't get caught up with. She's the president's wife and she's working at Concordia Irvine. We are a body of Christ. And I really do say this with great honor that I am proud and I am blessed to be a part of student affairs. And Megan is doing an amazing job.
Thank you so much for your time, Monique.
And we look forward to seeing you on campus at some time.
Yes.
It would be great to do a walk with Miss Mo.
Thank you so much, ladies.
This has been Concordia University Irvine's Advancing Women Leadership Podcast. Thanks for listening and have a blessed day.